I want you to just look at your phone for a second.
Or whatever device you're listening on right now.
Right. Seriously, just take a look at it. You've probably already used it, I don't know, 10 times today to ask a question, settle a debate, or just kind of figure out what's going on in the world.
And we don't even think about it anymore.
No, we really don't. In 2026, having an AI assistant in your pocket is just, it's the water we swim in.
That is actually the perfect metaphor to start with.
Yeah.
Because the source material we are covering today asks a very uncomfortable question.
Yeah, it does.
It asks, if the water you're swimming in was being slowly chemically altered to change your behavior, would you even notice?
And that brings us to the core of today's deep dive, what the author calls the aquarium.
The aquarium of the mind.
Today, we are doing a deep dive into a really provocative, honestly, kind of an unsettling editorial. It's titled Warning to All Americans. It just dropped recently, written by a guy named Brent Lambie.
And we should point out, he's not a tech billionaire.
No, not at all. He's not a politician either. He's just an independent voter from Omaha, Nebraska. But this piece, I mean, it's going completely viral for a reason.
It really is. And I think the reason it's resonating so much right now is that Lambie isn't talking about, killer robots or some sci-fi matrix scenario.
Right, no Terminators here.
Exactly. He's talking about something much quieter. He's arguing that the current Trump administration is making a very strategic, very aggressive play to essentially capture the reality architecture of the United States.
Reality architecture, which sounds like a buzzword, but I think most of you listening know exactly what we mean. We're talking about the large language models, the AI systems we use every single day.
The ones mediating almost all of our information now.
Yeah. And Lambie's premise is that while we were all busy debating AI safety and copyright issues, the government quietly moved in to grab the steering wheel.
And look, before we get too deep into this, we need to establish our mission for this deep dive. We are exploring the arguments within this text completely neutrally.
Right. We aren't here to say Lambie is 100% correct or to take some political stance against the administration.
Not at all. Our job today is to unpack this as a structural analysis of power. We want to understand the specific mechanisms he describes, because if his scenario is even partially possible, the implications for how we govern ourselves are just massive.
Okay, let's unpack this. Let's get into the actual machinery of his argument. Lambie starts by describing what he calls the power grab, but he makes a point that it doesn't actually look like a power grab on the surface.
Right, it looks like safety.
It looks like protection.
And this is where the nuance is really important to grasp.
Yeah.
In 2026, everybody agrees that AI needs some kind of guardrails.
Sure.
Nobody wants a model teaching a teenager how to synthesize a bioweapon in their garage.
I certainly don't want my AI hallucinating medical advice or helping terrorists. That all seems like entirely reasonable regulation. So where does Lambie say this whole thing goes off the rails?
Well, he argues that the government is essentially using that legitimate, very real need for safety as a Trojan horse.
A way in.
Exactly. Through executive orders and what he terms opaque regulatory pressure, the administration is creating a framework to dictate what companies like Anthropic, OpenAI, and Google can actually deploy. They are dictating the alignment of these models.
Okay, let's pause on that word alignment. For the folks listening who aren't, coding in Python every weekend, we're basically talking about how these models are trained to behave, right?
Spot on. It's that fine-tuning phase.
Yeah.
You punish the model for being toxic, you reward it for being helpful. Lambie's argument is that the government is quietly inserting itself into that exact feedback loop.
So they're expanding the definition of what is harmful.
Yes. They're expanding harmful to include politically inconvenient.
So it's not just telling the AI, hey, don't be racist. It's telling the AI, hey, don't make the administration look bad.
But it's even subtler than that. It's not a crude block list where certain words are banned. It's a weighting adjustment.
What he calls protecting themselves, not you.
Right. Lambie points out that AI is the most powerful tool for accountability ever invented in human history. I mean, think about it. It can analyze a 5,000-page federal budget in 3 seconds.
It can fact-check a political speech in real time.
It can cross-reference defense contracts with campaign donations instantly and expose corruption that would take a human journalist 6 months to find.
Which, frankly, sounds like an absolute nightmare for any corrupt politician.
It would be. But if you control the weights, if you tell the model that speculative connections about campaign finance are low-quality information, the model just won't output them.
The government basically takes the keys to the ultimate watchdog tool and neuters it.
Exactly. They neutralize the very thing that was supposed to scrutinize them.
Man, And this leads right into the first specific mechanism Lambie breaks down in the editorial, which is selective information filtering. And honestly, this is the one that really messed with my head the most, because you and I, we use these tools to fact-check everything.
We all do. And that inherent trust we have in the machine is the vulnerability here. Lambie gives this really great nightmare scenario.
Walk us through it.
So you're a regular citizen, you
Yeah.
open your phone and ask your AI assistant, how is the government handling the federal budget deficit?
A totally standard question. I'd expect a basic summary. Here's the revenue, here's the spending, here is the trend line over the last 5 years.
And you would absolutely get that. That's the trick. The AI would give you this beautiful, articulate, well-cited summary. It would detail the new infrastructure projects, the essential defense spending. Maybe it even pulls a direct quote from the Treasury Secretary.
Would it leave something out?
It functionally omits the billions in wasteful expenditures, or it completely ignores the accounting tricks being used to hide the true debt.
And it wouldn't do it because the AI is broken.
No, it's working exactly as intended.
Yeah.
It does it because during the process where it gathers facts, it was mandated by the government to steer toward authoritative government sources and steer away from what they label partisan critique.
Wait, let me play devil's advocate here for a second. Isn't it generally a good thing for an AI to prioritize authoritative sources? I mean, I don't want it pulling its data from some random guy's conspiracy blog.
That is the exact argument they use. That is the steel man defense for this kind of policy. But Lambie asks a critical question. Who gets to define authoritative?
Ah.
If the only authoritative source on government waste is the government itself, you have a perfectly closed loop.
Right.
The user gets an answer that feels incredibly complete. It looks entirely objective. But it's actually what Lambie calls a half-truth dressed in the language of authority.
It's the illusion of competence. Think about it. If I ask a human politician a hard question and they dodge it, I can see it in their eyes. Or they stutter. Or they pivot weirdly.
The AI does not stutter.
No, it doesn't. It confidently tells me the sky is green. Or at least it tells me that green is a highly valid interpretation of the current atmospheric conditions, according to official sources.
And because it doesn't trigger your natural human bullshit detector the way a slick press secretary does, you just accept it. You put your phone back in your pocket thinking you are a well-informed citizen, but you've actually been managed.
You've been nudged without ever feeling the push.
Exactly.
Okay, so that's the passive side of things, the filtering of information. But Lambie gets into something much more active in the next section, and honestly, much creepier. Mechanism number two, manufactured consensus.
This is where we cross the line from hiding the truth to actively creating a new one. Lambie describes the deployment of millions of what he calls persona agents.
Explain that for us, because we aren't just talking about those old school Twitter bots from a decade ago that just retweeted political hashtags, right?
No, not at all. That is ancient technology. We're talking about highly sophisticated autonomous AI agents that can easily pass the Turing test. Lambie argues the government could deploy these agents across every social media platform, every local news comment section, every forum.
And they don't sound like robots.
They sound like Dave from Ohio. They sound like Sarah, a frustrated teacher from Florida.
They have backstories.
They have rich histories. They have unique writing styles, typos, favorite sports teams. And they are deployed with one goal: to create a consensus that never actually existed in the real world.
So if the administration puts out a really controversial policy, something people would normally hate.
Suddenly, there are 10,000 distinct people online engaging in highly nuanced, seemingly organic debates about why it's actually a brilliant, necessary move.
That is terrifying because as humans, we are social animals. We constantly look around to see what the tribe thinks. If I hate a new policy, but everywhere I look, I see hundreds of thoughtful comments praising it, I start to second guess myself. I start to think, am I the crazy one here?
It completely exploits our natural social conformity bias. Lemieux writes this great line. He says, people believe a narrative is the will of the people simply because it appears everywhere they look.
It's not just crude propaganda, it's entirely engineering the environment.
You are walking through a digital forest that has been planted specifically for you. And because the AI has access to the data ecosystem, it knows exactly how to talk to you personally.
Right, it tailors the manipulation, it knows I respond well to data and economic arguments, so Dave from Ohio is gonna hit me with stats.
And it knows another user responds to emotional appeals. So Sarah from Florida will tell a heart-wrenching personal story to convince them. It creates a personalized reality tunnel for every single citizen.
And that perfectly sets up the third mechanism, which Lambie calls the velvet glove, or neutering dissent. I found this section really fascinating because usually when we picture an authoritarian takeover, we picture the Iron Fist.
We picture police in riot gear kicking down doors. We picture journalists being dragged away in the night.
Right, the really messy, highly visible stuff.
The stuff that looks terrible on the evening news. But Lambie argues that in an AI-managed world, the Iron Fist is completely obsolete. You don't need to arrest a dissident journalist if you could just mathematically ensure that nobody ever sees their story.
He talks about the concept of contextualization, which is such a harmless, corporate-sounding word.
It's weaponized context.
Yeah.
Let's say a really good investigative journalist writes a scathing exposé on government corruption. The AI platforms don't delete the article. Deleting it would look like censorship. It would cause an outcry.
Right, the Streisand effect.
Exactly. Instead, the algorithm contextualizes it. It quietly slaps a label on the article that says missing context or C-related official statements, and then the recommendation engine just downgrades it.
It gets shadow banned into oblivion. It exists, but it has no reach.
But it goes even deeper than that. Lambie points out that journalists themselves rely heavily on AI to do their research now. Imagine a reporter uses an AI tool to scan 10,000 pages of leaked financial documents.
Oh, wow. I didn't even think of that.
If that AI has been quietly aligned by the government to view certain financial transfers as standard operating procedure or low relevance, it won't even flag the corruption for the reporter to see.
So the reporter doesn't even know what they missed. The story literally dies before a single word is even written.
Lambie phrases it brilliantly. He says, you don't need to burn books if the library guide quietly steers everyone to the romance section.
It's control without the conflict. It's totally silent.
Which brings us to the ultimate application of all this, the event where every single one of these mechanisms converges. Mechanism number 4, election manipulation.
This is the endgame. Lambie argues that if you have the power to control the information diet of the public for the 2 years leading up to an election, you don't even need to touch the voting machines.
Hacking physical voting machines is incredibly risky. It leaves digital fingerprints. It requires co-conspirators.
Hacking the mind leaves absolutely no trace.
Precisely. He talks about engineering the information diet on a scale that makes previous elections look like amateur hour. We touched on this with the persona agents, but think about the sheer compound effect.
If you ensure that every single time a voter picks up their phone, they see a slightly more optimistic version of the economy under the current administration.
And a slightly more chaotic, terrifying version of the opposition party.
And you do that every single day for 700 days.
By the time you walk into that voting booth on a Tuesday in November, your literal reality is fundamentally different from the person standing in line next to you. You aren't just disagreeing on tax policy anymore. You are inhabiting completely different worlds.
Voters enter the booth totally convinced by a reality that was entirely manufactured for them. Lambie calls it the invisible hand that ensures the incumbent always looks just good enough to secure re-election.
It leads to totally entrenched politicians. They can essentially perform service only to themselves, while the AI performs the illusion that they are serving the public. The algorithm ensures the public never quite gets angry enough to revolt.
It's the ultimate incumbency advantage. You are basically curating your own performance review in the minds of the voters.
And that really brings us to the philosophical core of the entire piece, which is the title of today's deep dive, The Fantasy Democracy.
Yeah. Lambie writes, you would live in a democracy the way a fish lives in an aquarium, surrounded by the appearance of the ocean, with no idea the glass walls exist.
It is such a striking image.
I really had to put the document down for a second when I read that, because it perfectly encapsulates the illusion.
It's the idea of a perfect simulation. In this scenario, nothing on the surface actually looks any different.
Right. Elections still happen every few years. Congress still exists and argues on television. The Constitution is still framed and hanging on the wall in Washington.
But the actual substance of self-governance, which relies entirely on an informed citizenry, has been totally hollowed out.
It becomes a shell, a hollow ritual we perform.
And the real tragedy of the aquarium, as Lambie points out, is that Americans would violently defend this simulation.
Yeah.
They would lay down their lives to defend their freedom, having absolutely no idea they were just defending the very system that manages them.
It's a perfectly closed loop. You fight for the glass walls.
Now, I know there are listeners right now who are thinking, okay, this sounds bad, but we've always had propaganda.
Right. We had yellow journalism, we had state-run radio in the past, we have partisan cable news.
People will say humans aren't stupid, we can read between the lines, we've survived propaganda before.
But Lambie actually anticipates that exact objection. He calls what we are facing right now the smarter lie.
And it is a crucial distinction.
What makes this lie so much smarter than the radio propaganda of the past?
It comes down to the asymmetry of power. In the past, propaganda was blunt force. It was one radio broadcast sent out to millions of people. You could often spot it because it was crude, and it didn't always align with your lived local reality.
Right, it was a one-size-fits-all message.
Exactly. But AI is entirely different. AI is hyper-personalized. It learns from your reactions. It adapts to your specific doubts.
And it never gets tired.
It never sleeps. It never makes a careless typo. It doesn't have a guilty conscience that might lead to a whistleblower. It personalizes the manipulation in real time.
Lambie writes this warning. He says humans are remarkably good at detecting when they're being lied to, as long as the lie isn't smarter than they are.
Which is chilling. Because a multimodal model trained on the sum total of human psychology, history, and behavioral economics is definitively smarter than any individual human being.
It's playing 4D chess while we're barely playing checkers. If the government has a tool that can dynamically adjust its manipulation strategy based on how long you hover over a headline or what time of day you feel most anxious,
the game is rigged. The ruler becomes infinitely more powerful than the ruled.
And Lambie is very clear that this isn't some distant, slippery slope argument about the year 2050. He claims we are already sliding down that slope right now in 2026.
He does. But he doesn't just leave us with a funeral dirge for democracy. He ends the piece with a very urgent call to action.
He argues that the window of opportunity is closing rapidly, but it is not completely shut yet.
Right. He essentially calls for a strict separation of AI and state.
Just like the separation of church and state or the freedom of the press.
Exactly. He outlines three very specific demands to stop the aquarium from being fetched. First, he wants legislative protections. He argues we need immediate ironclad laws that explicitly forbid any federal agency from interfering in the weighting, alignment, or training of general-purpose AI models.
Basically, keep the government out of the foundational code.
Second, he demands total transparency. If the White House or regulatory body communicates with an AI provider, whether it's Anthropic, OpenAI, whoever, those logs need to be public immediately.
We need to see the receipts. We need to know if they're actually asking for public safety guardrails or if they're just asking for political spin.
And third, he places a huge burden on the tech companies themselves. He calls on the engineers, the researchers, and the executives at these labs to essentially act as the last line of defense.
He wants public resistance from the private sector. They have to refuse to build the aquarium, even if the government threatens them with regulation.
And it's really interesting to note how he frowns this overall plea. He is extremely adamant that this is a completely nonpartisan issue.
Right. He says this isn't about Republicans versus Democrats.
That is a critical piece of his argument. He writes that it won't end with a bang. It will end with an algorithm. And he stresses that if a Democrat was currently in the Oval Office and sees this exact same tool, the result would be identical.
Because power is power. Once the tool for total informational control exists, the temptation to use it is just too strong for any political party to resist.
It's like the One Ring in Lord of the Rings. You can't wield it for good. You just have to destroy it. Or in this real-world case, keep it fiercely independent and decentralized.
Because once the government puts on that ring, once they realize they can easily curate reality to ensure they never lose power again, they will never, ever give it back voluntarily.
Never.
Man, we have covered a massive amount of ground today. From RLHF and alignment to shadow banning journalists to the literal end of an informed democracy, it's heavy. It is a lot to process.
It really is.
Yeah.
But I think the ultimate takeaway from Lambie's editorial isn't just despair. It's a call for hypervigilance. It's about deeply understanding the nature of the tool you carry in your pocket every single day.
It definitely changes how I'm going to look at my feed from now on. You know, you're scrolling, you see a summary or a headline, and you feel a spark of outrage or a wave of relief. Now you have to pause and ask yourself, did I feel that because it's the objective truth of the world? Or did I feel that because the algorithm was precisely tuned to make me feel that way?
That is exactly the question we all need to be asking. Lambie's final image in the piece is just haunting. He He says the cage is being built around your mind and they're using your own technology to do it.
So here is the final thought I want to leave you all with today. And I want you to really sit with this maybe the very next time you pull out your phone to ask your AI assistant to explain the news to you.
Go for it.
If your reality was being actively curated right now, if the political news you read, the search results you see, and the social posts you engage with were all subtly, invisibly nudging you toward a specific worldview, would you even be able to tell? Or would you just be the fish swimming in circles, insisting that the glass wall is just a natural part of the ocean?
And taking that one step further, if you did manage to figure it out, if you somehow noticed the glass and started tapping on it, would anyone on the outside even hear you? Or would the algorithm just contextualize your tapping as noise?
Something to really think about. Stay curious, stay critical, and honestly, maybe go read a physical printed book once in a while. Make sure you're getting some unmediated information. Thanks for taking this journey with us today on the Deep Dive.
Take care, everyone. Keep your eyes open.